Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Whirl with Merle. Yes. Okay, now I stop the music. This is Whirl with Merle exit here. And tonight we're going to be talking about Vermont, mainly like the Stowe area of Vermont. Hopefully things will be working. We had some technical difficulties again with people calling in. I have a whole group of people that I'm going to be having, all from the Stowe area. That includes Derek from Timberholm Inn. And then we're going to have, who do we have? Well, from Vermont Cheese. Well, I spoke with someone from Vermont Cheese Council, and so we're going to talk to somebody. We have supposedly two people that will be calling in, one from Vermont Butter and Cheese Company, and then from Taylor Farms. And then we have from Nebraska Noel Sugar Farm, so we're going to talk about mapling and maple syrup. And unfortunately, the Green Mount Coffee wasn't able to call in. And so you know, you'll just have to drink whatever coffee that, notice I said coffee, so you could tell. Okay, so obviously you can tell where I'm from, that I'm, you know, that I'm from New York. Which, I, you know, it's funny because I fail to mention this, that since I'm calling from New York, you know, that I keep forgetting that everybody on the internet is like from all over the world, you know. And so I should probably first, just in case, like, you don't know where Vermont is, it's northeast, and it's like north of Massachusetts. And it abuts, let's see, at New York State and New Hampshire. And if you go above Vermont, you wind up in the province of Quebec in Canada. And so that's just in case. That's so you know where, you know, where it is. And so one of the things we'll be discussing, let's see who we have on the air. Let's see, I'm clicking on here. Do I have anybody?
Hi, you have Adeline.
Ah, yes. anybody else? I have another one. Who's?
This is Derek.
Oh, Derek, yes. Are you, of course, the first person that I wanted to speak with. And so, Derek, tell us about the Stowe area, what there's to do other than the obvious of skiing, which we can talk about, but tell us what else there is to do in the area.
Well,
oh, and Derek, by the way, is from Timberholm Inn, and guess I didn't in case I didn't mention it.
Well, so, first of all, Merle, it's like 6 degrees here right now.
So
I don't know where other
it's people not are. Much, it's not much warmer here in New York.
But tomorrow's supposed to be like 32, and everyone's all excited because it is. I know you don't want to talk about skiing a lot, but it has been a beautiful season. We've had the most snowfall in December in like 40 years. I mean, it's really been a wonderful, wonderful season for us so far. And folks, you know, we had the Christmas folks in for the Christmas week, and now we're getting the avid, the skier that comes for the serious skier that comes, and they're getting some great snow. So, but Stowe offers so many things besides just skiing itself. It has all kinds of other recreation. Obviously, besides skiing and snowboarding, we have snowmobiling. Obviously, you actually came up
time
and did a little snowmobiling.
Yeah, wasn't that from, was it UMIAC?
Yes.
Outfitters, yeah.
Yes, UMIAK.
Right.
We had some friends go out the other day, and they actually saw a moose, and they went after the moose for like 20 minutes and following the moose. It's like Vermont's version of an African safari.
Yeah, So
it's really, really wonderful winter sports up this area. A lot of people do ice fishing. They do cross-country skiing. You know, cross-country skiing is like the best sport because it's something that anybody and everybody can do, and it works all the muscles of your body. And with Trapp Family Lodge up here, that's one of the premier cross-country skiing facilities in the country, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, Trapp Family Lodge, isn't that like having to do with the Sound of Music?
Yes, yeah. That's where the Von Trapps settled after they left Europe and created the lodge. And it's probably Stowe's number one tourist attraction. They come up to there and, because they have, it's not the original lodge because it actually burnt down in 1981, but they built another beautiful lodge up there, and it's very beautiful. Beautiful views. That's the thing about Stowe. Stowe is the way it's nestled into the hills there. There's beautiful views everywhere from it, and makes it a wonderful place to come and visit.
And I understand also with the snowshoeing, is it the place Tubbs? Isn't that the place that's up there?
No, Tubbs actually makes snowshoes.
Oh, okay.
UMIAC actually has snowshoe tours. Everything from so you snowshoe up to a tent, and they have fondue parties, and you can do it on the Ben and Jerry's property itself. But there's several programs that they offer in the way of snowshoeing, and
yeah.
That's a lot of fun for a lot of people too.
Oh yeah, and also you're not far from there's two spas right near you, isn't it?
Yes, there is the Stowe Lake Spa and Resort and the Top Notch Spa and Resort, and both of those spas have been completely upgraded. Both of them spent multiple millions of dollars to make them both 5-star facilities.
I guess I'll have to come back up there and spend a couple of days.
Well, I think you have. You've done that before, haven't
well,
you?
Well, I did. I went to Stowe Lake, and I haven't been to Top Notch. So I guess I'll have to get a hold of them. And
there you go.
Yeah. And I understand there's dog sledding.
There's dog sledding up in Eden and up at Stowe Mountain Resort. They actually have dog sledding. So we have a couple places that you can do it. And we've had guests do that. A lot of guests do that. It's a little expensive. You know, we're talking in the close to $200 range. But people come back and say it's a life-changing experience because you know you go out into the wilderness with these dogs and they just love it. Dogs love it too. I mean, you have to actually, keep them from continuing to run. It's really a wonderful, wonderful time.
That's really great. Yeah. And what would you do like if you? Well, I guess you just don't come up there in the winter if you're not into any of these sports, huh?
Not really. I mean, I would say a third of our guests don't ski and don't do much of the other activities, but there is a lot of it. I mean, we're a beautiful New England village, founded in like 1763, even before the Revolution. So there's a lot of the classic architecture and shopping and things to do like that, and people really enjoy it. We have 60 restaurants within 3 miles. So,
wow.
Any foodies out there's plenty to do there, too. So it's definitely a lot to do. A lot of folks come out, we, even though we're a small bed and breakfast, we make it a full experience. Obviously, we do a full gourmet breakfast each morning, voted top 5 breakfasts in New England. And but we also do an after-ski in the afternoon with homemade soup around the fire and like people just come to relax. I mean, the past week we've had several guests that have spent full days just sitting on the property and playing games and reading books and hanging out by the fire. So, believe it or not, winter doesn't have to be for the active.
Oh, well, that's good, because in case I decide to come up there.
I don't know. We'll get you out on a dog sled next time.
On a what? Oh,
on
yes.
A dog sled.
I definitely have to do a dog sledding. I did it once in Quebec, and I had the opportunity not only to be in the dog sled as a rider, but to, you know, like, be a pilot, whatever you want to call it. So that was really great. I kind of appreciated doing that. I'm going to see, perhaps they'll let me do that. They'll teach it to me. But tell me about your inn, by the way.
Well, our inn is founded in 1949. It was one of the original ski lodges up here in Stowe, and it's actually on the historic list of ski lodges. Back in those days, you know, it was like one bathroom for every three or four beds type situation. We have since upgraded it, and all the rooms have their own private baths, and most of them look out toward the mountains. We have a steady business. We have a lot of repeat guests that come up, and not only the winter, but they come back up to us in the summer, because up here it's beautiful in the summer. There's lots of hiking and beautiful waterfalls to go to, and then of course fall has its own whole following because of the leaves. But our breakfasts are a key big point of our inn, because we really take the time to make a nice gourmet breakfast, utilizing as much Vermont product as we possibly can. Everything from the Vermont syrups to the Vermont cheeses and butters and even the Vermont meats.
Wow. Which then brings me to talking about, well, first of all, about Vermont cheese. It's actually a Vermont Cheese Council. And I just want people to know, because when people think of Vermont cheese, they make the assumption that Cabot Creamery is like the only kid on the block, and it's definitely not so, that there's actually a trail of places that you can go to for Vermont cheeses.
Yep.
And as a matter of fact, that's what we're going to talk about, because we're going to discuss this. They have this, I guess, two types of cheese. I spoke with Ellen Ogden from the Vermont Cheese Council, and the difference is artisan cheese and farmstead cheese. And what artisan cheese is, and let me see if I have this right. In other words, you're getting milk or goat's milk or sheep's milk or cow's milk from another farm, and you're making the cheeses on the property, versus the farmstead cheeses where the actual animals are on the farm. And I hope I got that correct. I think we have Adeline on the end.
Yes.
Hi. And Adeline is from Vermont Butter and Cheese Company. And by the way, I know I have somebody else, another call. Who was the other person that called in?
This is Lou Cody with the maple syrup.
Okay, good. That's I know I have on. Okay, so let's go. Let's continue with the cheeses. And tell me, like, first of all, there's different. You can get cheese from a cow, a sheep, and a goat. Tell me the differences in taste and how the cheeses are made, and anything else you want to tell me, Adeline.
Yeah, well, sorry in advance for my really bad French accent. So let's talk a little bit about cheese. Well, first of all, I would like to add some to the artisanal versus farmstead description.
Yeah.
I would say that artisanal, because now everybody uses that word artisanal. It's even, I heard that Wendy's has an artisanal burger. made with artisanal bread or something like that. I will say that artisanal, for me, and what I learned from France is that you adjust, first it's made in small quantity, and plus you adjust your recipe, your method and technique with the seasonality of your ingredients.
Okay, so,
which is, for example, what we do in cheese, you know. Milk has a variation in the milk composition, you know, in the solids through the season. For example, you know, during the summer, the cows, the goats, or the sheep will produce a lot of milk with not a lot of protein and fats. And during the winter, it's reversed. The animal produces less milk with a very rich milk with tons of protein and butter fat. So in order for a cheesemaker to make consistent cheese, it always has to adjust the recipe so it ends up with the same texture and size and so the customer can recognize, you know, the cheese from summer to winter. And then the difference between sheep, cows, and goats, I would say that it's like a difference between, you know, turkey and chicken. It's just the way it's from the nature of the animals, and animals produce, you know, the fat components, for example, in goat's milk is different, and it's different type of fats, fatty acid, for example, than in cow's milk, which bring you a different taste in the milk to start with. So then as you make the cheese, you're going to, you know, have that difference in taste from, you know, between each.
I know, for instance, like, and this is just my taste, when I have especially like a strong goat's milk cheese, it tastes like that I'm biting into that I'm eating a lamb chop. That's kind of like kind of a strong tasting lamb chop, which kind of like throws me because I have an expectation of eating cheese and I'm tasting lamb, you know. But I understand that if you have it, if you get a that some are like what makes them stronger or non-stronger, by the way.
Well, if you want to, for example, to get introduced to goat's milk cheese or sheep milk cheese, for example, I would recommend you start with fresh cheese.
Okay.
Because fresh cheese, first of all, you get the fresh milk flavor right away, and so this goatiness or this sheep kind of flavor is not as pronounced as you would find in a aged sheep milk or goat's milk cheese. So I will start with a fresh goat's milk cheese and see how you feel about that. There is difference, for example, between fresh goat cheese made in France and made in U.S. I didn't knew that and realized that when I came in U.S. Here the goat cheese are much milder. They don't have as much goatiness as the cheese you will find in France, even if they are made the same way, and even if the breed of the goats are the same, it just has a different taste to it, and I guess that's part of the terroir or landscape and everything else in the environment.
And now, why is it, by the way, that what makes it get that particular harsh flavor, or is it that we're just basically, you know, we all grow up on cow's milk and don't notice that cow's milk has a taste?
Yeah, absolutely. If you eat, you know, like regular, I would say, you know, or if you eat like cheddar for, you know, 20 years and all of a sudden you get a piece of goat cheese in your mouth, you're going to say, what's going on here? You know, the cheese is bad. It's not what I'm used to. It's like, you know, drinking a very light, you know, young wine and all of a sudden you are in front of a glass of, you know, Bordeaux, and you're going to say, whoa, that wine is wrong, which is which there is nothing wrong about it. It's just a different taste, and your palate is not used to it.
Right. And now, at Vermont Butter and Cheese, like, what types of cheeses do you produce there?
Well, we produce two types of cheese. We produce product made from cow's milk and cow's cream. We make fromage blanc, which is a fat-free, fresh cow's milk cheese. Then we make quark. Quark is like, again, a soft, very fresh cheese, and it's a German cheese, and they use quark in Germany for cheesecake, and, you know, they use it as, like, here we would use cream cheese in everything.
Oh, okay.
And then we make crème fraîche, which I hope people start to know what is crème fraîche. It's a cultured cream. It's cream where we add bacteria that eats the sugar from the cream to produce flavor and acidity that makes that cream really thick and flavorful. And finally, we make butter, cultured butter, 86% butter fat, cultured butter, which is very high butter fat, but which makes that butter awesome. And so that's the cow's milk, and then we make goat's milk cheese, fresh goat's milk cheese, like Chèvre and creamy goat cheese. And we recently started making aged goat's milk cheese. So that would be kind of the next step if you want to discover goat cheese taste. You know, after fresh, then move to aged goat's milk cheese. And we make a cheese called Bonne Bouche, which has ash on the top of the cheese. Bijou and Coupole.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and I'm curious now, would I, like, if somebody was doing a tasting, can you taste the difference between sheep's milk and goat's milk?
Yes, you would. It's going to seem funny, but I would say sheep milk has more animal smell and taste to it.
Oh, it does?
It does, versus goat milk cheese. You know, it's funny because people think they don't like goat milk cheese, but then they try without knowing that they are trying goat milk cheese, and actually they like it because, I mean, each time I have the comment, oh, it doesn't taste good.
Yeah, I know that, like, especially goat's milk, especially, like, fresh, is used in a lot of, like, fancy restaurants. Like, you know, it's a big deal to have that you have some goat's milk cheese on in your salad. That seems to be, you know, then you kind of think that you're in a higher class of a restaurant when they do that versus like, mozzarella, you know.
Mozzarella, yeah.
Yeah.
So plus, we don't use a lot of salt in our cheese to really preserve that fresh milk taste to it. So that helps to don't have too much goatiness as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And by the way, it's like I've noticed that when it comes to, like, the cheeses with sheep's milk, I noticed, like, a lot of hard cheeses that like would have, like, I don't know whether they're just in the United States or imported from Italy, because I noticed that would happen. Is do you make any hard cheeses with sheep's milk?
No, we don't. But it's true, you know, you will find much more hard cheese, or, you know, cheese aged longer made out of sheep milk versus, you know, goat cheese are pretty, you know, are pretty typical to be like Chèvre, so fresh cheese.
Right.
And it's that in the U.S., but in France too, you know, most of the sheep milk cheese are hard and aged for a longer time.
I understand that with the Vermont, like, Butter and Cheese Company, that people, like, it doesn't, you don't have to be in Vermont to get the products.
No, well, We still are our local company because I would say 75% of our business is from, you know, Boston, New York, and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't there is so much potential, you know, right in that area that we don't even try to ship too much in the California, you know, region.
Oh, okay.
For sure.
But yeah.
You can find our product across the country, I would say, even if we're only 30 employees that makes all that happening, you can find our cheese at Whole Foods, for example.
Right. And I understand at Trader Joe's, which is now a big thing going.
Yeah, Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
In New York, you have Balducci's. It really depends which store, and sometimes they have all the cheese, and sometimes they have only the creme fraiche or the butter. So if they don't have the chef, you know, people please ask for it.
That's great. And by the way, do you happen to know, well, I guess you can Google Vermont Cheese Council, and you can find this whole thing about the Vermont Cheese Trail. I understand that Ellen Ogden has actually written a book that will give you this trail that she went on, and they're not all like, you know, just drop in and taste the cheeses. You have to call in advance, and some are open and not open. But going to trails, one of the things that has happened for me is that when I go into a place that has pancakes, unless they have pure maple syrup, not maple-flavored syrup, I won't eat pancakes or waffles. There is a definitely big difference. And Vermont actually has a Sugar Makers Association, and I had a conversation with them to talk about mapling and, like, when is the best time to go there. I understand that probably the end of March, beginning of April, and that it can't be too cold because otherwise the sap doesn't flow. But we have Lewis Cody on here to talk about Nebraska Knoll Sugar Farm. So, Lewis, tell us all about mapling.
Well, global warming, I think, is pushing the season a little farther forward. It's more of a March event now, although it does go into April. It can occur in late February as well. You need freezing nights and warm days. It's right on the cusp between winter and spring.
Oh, great.
As the spring starts to usher in, that's when the sap flows the best.
Right. And how does mapling done? I mean, what do you actually, you know, do to get the maple syrup?
Well, we gather the sap from the trees. It's mostly done with tubing now. Buckets are kind of old-fashioned, too labor-intensive. We drill a 5/16 hole in the tree, and it goes down through a series of tubing to our sap shed. It looks and tastes like water. It's a very weak sugar content. It takes about 50 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup, so we have to evaporate all that water, and which is done most actually, we have what's called a reverse osmosis machine. It's a very sophisticated filter that filters out about two-thirds of water, and then the rest is boiled to produce the syrup.
Wow, that's some process. Now, if I had maple syrup from, let's say, Vermont or any place else, will they all taste the same?
Well, we have to keep in mind that Vermont's the best flavor, of course.
Oh, of course. Well, I understand. By the way, I was also told that although all the states, like, have a standard to make sure that, like, that maple syrup is pure, that Vermont has a higher standard. Is that true?
I believe Vermont has the density is very important. If it's not dense enough, it'll spoil much more easily. If it's too dense, it'll tend to crystallize on the bottom, which you can't use. I think Vermont has a slightly higher standard for density than the national standard.
Oh.
Other than that, it's pretty similar.
Oh, okay. Now, also what I wanted to ask is, what's the different grades? And tell me about them, and how does it make it different than what would you use the grades for?
Yeah, I think the grades of syrup are the most confusing to most people. The darkest syrup is called grade C. What's usually sold in stores is grade A syrup, a dark, a medium, and a light amber. In Vermont, a light amber is called fancy. So we have fancy, a medium, and a dark.
Okay. And so, like, how would you know what to purchase and, you know, to what you to use it for?
Well, I tend to prefer the lighter fancy the best. It's definitely more of a, it's not as heavy a taste as the dark syrups. We usually save the darker syrup for cooking. I find them a little bit coarser and not quite as pure maple, but some people would disagree with that. Some people really like the darker syrup, so it's kind of a matter of taste. But the darker syrups are definitely a stronger flavor, oftentimes tasting, you can get a lot of specific flavors depending on the time of year and how it's spoiled, but you know, you can get a caramel flavor or a chocolate flavor or a coffee flavor.
Really?
Yeah, floral flavors sometimes creep in too. But the fancy syrup is usually lighter on those stronger flavors. It's, in my opinion, more maple-y. But there are people out there who might dispute that.
And so now, as far as, like, with your company, can people buy it online, or can they visit your sugar
farm?
Yeah,
we have a website, we do quite a bit of mail order. Over half our syrup sold right at the Sugar House. Which is open year-round, although at this time of year it's hard to get to. We're about a third of a mile off of town road here, so it's a little bit hard to drive up, but we do get a lot of people who do that and purchase right from the Sugar House.
Do you, and in terms of cost, I'm curious, like, does it make a difference, first of all, like, whether you go to Vermont, or I guess I think Maine now has, you know, maple syrup? Does it matter, like, where you purchase it from, or is also in terms of even Vermont, is it competitive?
Yeah, I mean, the big producer is Canada. Vermont's the biggest producer in the United States, but Canada is the biggest producer of the world many times over from Vermont. They have many more acres of sugar maples up there.
So, in other words, and I'm just saying, so if you're going to the store, are you necessarily going to find it less expensive because it's from Canada, or?
Well, it was that way for a while when the Canadian dollar was so weak. It's not that way anymore because the dollars are just about equal now. So I don't think you're going to find a lot of difference in price.
Hmm.
I think the most important thing to keep in mind is syrup never tastes better than the day it's made. It's not like wine. It does not age well. And you can definitely, a syrup that's a year old, you can definitely, has lost some of its flavor over really fresh syrup. So keep that in mind when you're buying syrup. A lot of times what you buy out of a store shelf may have sat there for who knows how many years before.
Is there any dates on there, or sell by? Well, not a sell by date. What you can
we,
get?
We put dates on the bottom of our containers, actually, the day that it was canned, but that's not required.
Mm. So you may not know how.
That's
how
right.
Fresh it is.
Most of the time, you'd have no idea when it was canned, or more importantly, when it was produced. It gets stored in large drums and then canned up to meet demand. So it may be syrup that's been sitting in the drum for a couple of years before it's actually canned.
Adeline, what do you think about combining any of the cheeses with maple syrup?
Absolutely. We have a favorite recipe that I can call the Vermonter, which is using one of our fresh cheese. It's called creamy goat cheese, and we have one that is plain. And the cheese is basically taken right out of the cheesecloth and put it in the little cup. And what we recommend is to drizzle maple syrup on that fresh goat cheese and then sprinkle some fresh grounded pepper. And sugar goes very well with goat cheese, you know, with fresh goat cheese, you know, like putting honey on goat cheese with figs or something like that. So, yeah, goat cheese and maple syrup are good buddies.
Wow. I think I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah.
What about with any of the other cheeses? You think they would put maple syrup on any of the other cheeses
personally, with goat cheese, honey or maple syrup, even maple syrup on blue cheese, will be really good. I mean, just drizzle a little bit, but for example, blue cheese is so strong that you need something sweet and powerful as well, you know, to balance those two aromas. And usually when it's the opposite, you know, it meets in the middle, I would say.
Yeah. What do you think, Derek? Do you think you want to make anything with the combinations?
Well, we use a lot of maple syrup and on a variety of things. We make a lot of stuffed French toast with the cheeses, and obviously maple syrup is involved.
Oh yeah, God, I'm getting hungry. What other products, or is any like? Can you guys like tell me some other places to visit in the Stowe area, or products, or stuff like that?
Well, you can't forget about Ben and Jerry's. You know, not only you know we have dairy cheese from dairy, but we also have ice cream that's very famous. And what's interesting is even though they've been bought up by an international company, they still seem to maintain their credibility in the product that they make, and it's the number one tourist attraction actually in the state of Vermont.
Oh yeah, I bet. And there's also the Teddy Bear Factory, the Vermont Teddy Bear Factory,
which isn't too far.
Yeah, I was hoping to talk with them because I see commercials on TV and the people that kind of doing takeoffs on making your own teddy bear, and then I kind of like expect to hear, you know, that the commercial has to do with the with Vermont Teddy Bear, and it's some other company. So I guess they're pulling from them.
You can really do a gourmet trip to Vermont now. You know, there is cheese, as you know, there is 48 cheesemakers across the state, which is like huge. You can take the cheese trail and you know, spend a week doing that. Stop by at the Top Notch, at the spa, but there is Green Mountain Coffee, there is Ben and Jerry, there is Champlain Chocolate Factory to visit, there is Magic Hat, and there is now a lot of different. You even have a beer trail, I think, now from the Vermont Brewer Association.
Beer trail?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there is a couple brewery that are open for visit, and there is Shelbourne Farm.
Uh-huh.
which is a really nice place to visit. There is now a winery in Vermont, you know, Red Hand Bakery, which makes wonderful bread, and so, I mean, you can really go on a gourmet destination to Vermont, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do. Actually, I've never been to Southern Vermont, so I'm gonna try maybe a bit of that too. But I'll have to check out this the beer trail as well.
I think there's like 17 actual microbreweries in Vermont.
Really?
Maps. Oh yeah.
Wow. And that's really interesting. And by the way, Derek, I wanted also to talk with you about. I understand there's an event coming up, January 30th to February 3rd. It's the Gay Ski Weekend. Oh, it's Gay Ski Week. I'm sorry. And
yeah,
so, tell me about this.
Well, it's been around for like about 15 years. It's called Winter Rendezvous. And it's just a gathering on the East Coast for gays and lesbians to come up, and they do a big ski weekend in Stowe, and they actually take over a good portion of the town, and it's like 3 or 4 days, and it's a nice little atmosphere, and it does well, and it's really grown in popularity. So yeah, that's what's coming up.
Yeah, because I understand, like, in terms of places. Where people could stay for this, like you're listed as one of the places. That's why I said, and I went on the website, and it looks like there's only one room left for this. In case anybody,
I think that got booked already.
Oh, that got booked too. Okay, yeah, because I was talking to, I guess his name is Michael, and we were discussing. I was saying, well. You know, what would happen if you don't ski? But he was also telling me that there's some events, there's some shows that they're doing. I understand. Miss Richfield, is that it? Miss Richfield?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
I know that they do have a full plethora of.
Yeah, well, this has to be for anybody who's been to Provincetown. They'll know who Miss Richfield is. This is supposed to be for anybody who's interested. This it's got to be a hoot, you know.
The town livens up to it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But the weekend before that is actually Winter Carnival.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, well, we have the ice sculptures in town, and you know, you'll see them all over town. And then they have the official ice carving contest at Stowflake, where they actually judge world class ice carvers. It's pretty fun, and they have all kinds of fun things, like they have snow volleyball and snow golf and all kinds of bizarre, interesting things.
What would you say the oddest thing that was sculptured?
Well, I don't know. They do all kinds of animals. People actually put lights inside some of the sculptures.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they get pretty exotic. It's amazing what you can do with ice, I'm telling you.
Wow. I have to, because I know they do that, and that's a big thing in Quebec, but I didn't realize that they, you know, they did this here in Vermont as well. Derek, did I ask you about your website?
Timberholm.com.
Oh, that's easy enough, right?
Yeah, TimberHolm.com.
Okay, and Vermont Butter and Cheese, what is your website?
It's VT Butter and, so spelled A-N-D, CheeseCo.com.
Okay.
And the Vermont Cheese Council, to have the map for the Vermont Cheese Trail,
yeah.
It's VTCheese.com.
Oh, okay. And how about as far as Nebraska, Noel Sugar Farm, what's your website? Lewis? Oh, Lewis, are you still there? I guess Lewis is gone. Okay. I guess if you just Google Nebraska, Noel, K-N-O-L-L, Sugar Farm, you can, get the information. Well, guys, it's really great to talk with you, and I hope we get people going up there. I guess if you go to Estow Tourism, that also you get more information?
Yes, at gostow.com.
Gostow, S-T-O-W-E, .com. Okay. I'm sure you'll see me, if not this year, next year, to wander up there, and I especially want these trails. I guess if I walk it, then I won't gain weight, right?
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. I just, just something to think about. So I hope to see you guys, and hopefully I'll get to taste the cheeses. I'll get to taste the maple syrup, and hopefully I'll see you too, Derek.
All right, Mel.
All right. Take it easy, guys, and have a good evening.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And right now we're going to take a break for our sponsor.
This program is brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialists, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
Well, now I guess I have to go to M&S, but I think M&S is they're interesting because in terms of cheeses, they have like over 100 different cheeses, a lot of which is imported from Italy. But they do have, and I'm not sure, but I think they might even carry cheese from Vermont Butter and Cheese Company. In the meantime, I thought that I would do something a little humorous here. I have this thing that was handed to me by Mallory, my cat, who doesn't like to talk on the air, and so she just like goes into my files and hands me things to talk about, or sometimes she tells me, you have to take a break for something. But here it is. I'm going to read this to you about, I guess, this little anecdote. One day, I'm going to Detroit to a bigger hotel. In the morning, I go down to eat breakfast. I tell the waitress I want a 2-piece toast. She bring me only 1-piece. I tell her I want a 2-piece on my plate. She says, "You better no piss on the plate, you son of a bitch." I don't even know the lady, and she called me a son of a bitch. Later, I go out to eat at the bigger restaurant. The waitress bring me a spoon, a knife, but no fork. I tell her I want to fuck. She tells me everyone want to fuck. I tell her, "No, you don't understand. I want to fuck on the table." She say, "You better don't fuck on the table, you son of a bitch." So I go back to my room in a hotel. And there is no shits on my bed. I call the manager and tell him I want to shit. He tells me, "Go to the toilet." I say, "You don't understand. I want to shit in the bed." He say, "You better no shit on the bed, you son of a bitch." I go to checkout, and the man at the desk say, "Peace to you." I say, "Piss on you too, you son of a bitch. I'm going to go back to Italy." Now, actually, that was for you, Barbara, because I promised I would tell something funny on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, actually, I'm going to end this a little early, only because, before I do that, I also want to mention I had spoken with Jonathan Reich from Taylor Farms, another cheese place, and because they make Gouda cheese versus Beda cheese. And so that you, because I want people to understand that you can, the variety of cheeses is all, you know, is all over Vermont. But anyway, so as I said, I'm going to end a bit early here because I'm a hungry. That's what this is all about. I'm a hungry from talking about all this the cheese and the syrup and. I'm going to make, I think I'll probably make a piece of chicken. So from me to all of you, I won't play I Feel the Christmas Spirit again, but I have to play the same music intro because it has to do with a running joke with the New York Sharks. Women's tackle football team, and by the way, Vermont, you don't have a women's tackle football team. You need to have one. There's one in New Hampshire. There's one right up there in Montreal, and there's in Massachusetts and upstate New York. But you know, which all abuts you, so you need to get your butt and get out there. And have one and make sure that they're in the IWFL, eventually they'll be part of the IWFL Football Hall of Fame. So from me to you, stay warm, hopefully, because I'm not, and have a great evening.